watch out for the G's and fools. Cause the homies that I thought I had see me stacking up a grip and they just started talking back. So I stay away from outsiders. And when I roll through, it makes them open they mouth wide. I used to think that you was my one and only hope. My mind was playing tricks on me. My mind was playing tricks on me. Yeah. Get up. Dear Doc, I'm having a little problem with my mind state. How many bullets would it take to change my mind? Wait, sometimes I want to end it, but I don't though. They tell me see my pastor, but I don't go. Cause they all be on this one street. So I take it on myself and thank him one deep. And give my money to the most needy. And never put it in the hands of the most greedy. Cause they're putting a price tag on the man's work. And it's a fashion show, so the men flirt. The world is ending, so they try to make a switch back. And they opening up these churches for some quick cash. And using the money for their new cribs. While Brother Johnson just got kicked out where he lived. I follow no man, cause man be fuck. My mom was playing tricks on me.
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXT, broadcasting Acre, Catskill, Hudson. That was Mind Playing Tricks on Me by Scarface. We're here in front of our studio audience, preparing to bring you the word shop. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
Can't seem to keep my mind on a steady track. I'm all about getting mine, so I study that. But it seems they want to get. So I try to keep my 9mm width.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Marie J. French reports for Politico that New York's Department of Environmental Conservation announced May 16th a denial without prejudice for the Williams Natural Gas Pipeline near New York City. The DEC said it would stir up mercury and copper in sediments and disturb shellfish beds along the 24-mile length from New Jersey across Rattatan Bay and New York Bay to just off the Rockaways. The agency said in a statement, and I quote, "As currently conceived in the application, construction of the NESE pipeline project is projected to result in water quality violations and fails to meet New York State's rigorous water quality standards," end quote. Northeast Supply Enhancement is allowed to reapply to install the pipeline, and Williams spokesman Chris Stockton said they would, with a change to a, and I quote, "minor technical issue," end quote, raised by the DEC. He said, and I quote, "We are confident that we can be responsive to the technical concern, meet our customers' in-service date, and avoid a moratorium that would have a devastating impact on the regional economy and environment," end quote. Environmental activists praised the decision. Natural Resource Defense Council Senior Attorney Kim Ung said, and I quote, "The state has made it clear that dangerous gas pipelines have no place in New York. This is a victory for clean water, marine life, communities, and people's health across the state," end quote. Read the full story at Politico. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that several residents turned out May 14th to the Catskill Planning Board meeting to complain about Polis's family vacation resort, and they may be back for a public hearing on June 11th. This past March, Polis's announced it would sell the business with a proposed new use. A religious camp for special needs children from Jacob Bar Horan is before the board, and since then, neighbors on Landon Avenue have publicly worried about an increase in traffic, noise level, and the hotel's septic system. The engineer representing the religious camp, Darren Elsom, tried to put them at ease. He said, and I quote, "There will be no substantial increase in traffic because the children and counselors will be bussed in. There will not be an increase in ambient noise level because the property was operating as a resort. The camp will comply with the town's noise ordinance," end quote. But neighbors said that Polis's resort averaged between 80 and 100 guests during the 8 to 10 weeks of the summer season, while the camp has proposed overnight occupancy of 214 guests. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Mid-Hudson News reports that the State Labor Department reported May 16th 9,000 new Hudson Valley jobs. Jobs were up 1.8% in Columbia County this April over last April, according to the report, and 1% in Greene County. But that was lower than the other Hudson Valley counties, such as Ulster, which was up 2.9%, and the Dutchess-Putnam counties, up 2.1%. Education and health service jobs grew the most in the Hudson Valley, followed by leisure and hospitality, professional and business services, natural resources, mining and construction, and financial activities. Industries with the largest losses included trade, transportation, and utilities. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. The Albany Times Union reports that 18 local businesses were charged with serving minors during last month's statewide crackdown on underage drinking. Greene County had 11 businesses on the list, and one each in Columbia and Rensselaer County. The State Liquor Authority, the State Department of Motor Vehicles, and local law enforcement and local law enforcement agencies sent underage customers into bars, restaurants, liquor stores, and grocery stores in 46 New York counties during the operation in April. A full list of the local businesses charged can be found on the WGXC News webpage, WGXC.org. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. And now here is your WGXC weather update. A mostly cloudy Friday afternoon is in the forecast with a temperature high near 73 degrees and a south wind at around 9 miles an hour. Tonight it will be partly cloudy with a low around 49 degrees and a northwest wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Your forecast for the weekend? Well, it will be mostly sunny on Saturday with a temperature high near 68 degrees. There'll be a slight chance of showers after midnight Saturday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 54. And on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high near 78 degrees. A chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. So there you have your weather update, brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdemar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC.
Myself could get menacing, frightening, find help. Sometimes I scare myself. Myself tweaking off that 2CB, huh? Is he gonna make it TBD, huh? Thought I was gonna run DMC, huh? I done died and lived again on DMT, huh? See, this the type of high that won't come down. This the type of high that get you gunned down. Easy trolling OD, huh? Turn TMZ to smack DVD, huh? Russell Simmons wanna pray for me too. I'ma pray for him cause he got me too. Thinking what if that happened to me too? Then I'm on E! News. Could get menacing, frightening, find help. Sometimes I scare myself, myself. Could get menacing, frightening, find help. Sometimes I scare myself, myself. Hey, hospital band, 100 bands, fuck a watch.
100 grand and make your best friends turn to ops. I hear y'all bringing my name up a notch. Guess I just turned the clout game up a notch. See, y'all really shocked, but I'm really not. You know how many girls I took to the shop? If she get that with it, that's a 50 pop. I still bring the bad in the city, y'all. Just a different type of leader. We could be in North Korea. I could smoke a Wiz Khalifa. Told my wife I never seen it. After I hit it by Felicia, that's the way that I'ma leave it up.
You were just listening to Yikes by Kanye West. Welcome back to the Clubhouse Radio, presenting 1 hour of the Word Shop. During this Mental Health Awareness Month, which just officially, well, just became official here in Greene County, today we'll be stirring our own definitions of mental health, as well as some poetry that feels relevant. Today we're here with Phoebe, Soraya, me, myself, William, and our sound technician, Kingston.
Hey, how's it going?
So,
and all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green.
Yeah. Bye. You see? You see? That's what I'm talking about. That's why I with Ye. See, that's my third part. That's my bipolar. That's my superpower. Ain't no disability. I'm a superhero.
I'm a superhero.
I mean, yeah, so that was Yikes, Kanye West, and we're listening to different music today because that's by artists who have publicly struggled or wrangled really with their mental health.
Yeah, so this creates an opportunity for listening to the lyrics and also just talking about, you know, just this intersection of what we call mental health and how we move through the world and, you know, produce and be, you know, create our art, create our work in the world, and just talk about the complexity of, you know, wrangling is the word. Mm-hmm. Talk about that choice and word.
So, I mean, I use the word wrangling because struggle doesn't really feel always accurate. I mean, people live with differences in their mental health, and I like to use the word neurodivergence rather than mental illness. And so wrangling means that they've talked about it, they've been public about it, like, maybe they've had difficulty, but struggle didn't really necessarily feel like the right word for me.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
William, anything stick out for you in listening to Kanye? What are your thoughts about Kanye as somebody who's publicly wrangled with mental health?
Like, a lot of people see him as, like, he does, like, play a role as, like, sometimes a political figure, in a sense. Because, you know, a lot of people say stuff about, you know, him being down with Trump and things like that. So,
I mean, yeah, it's something to consider. And I know that a lot of black people have disowned Kanye West.
Yeah.
But I think something that to also hold is, like, he's been public about that he's bipolar, right?
And bipolar disorder, and then also in the song he states that bipolar is not his disability, he's a superhero, quote unquote.
Right, and some people think about their mental health and their neurodivergence
as their superpower.
Exactly.
So we're speaking to not a specific group of people who have that certain mental disability, but maybe his mental health disability could be something he uses as something that, like, he bounces off of in, like, interviews and, like, you know, like, public things that he actually speaks about, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and does he talk about its influence on his actual art-making process?
I mean, a little bit. I think it definitely, like, shows up. Like, the song we're listening to right now that's in the background is Click, and he's, you know, talking about suicidal thoughts that he's had and that. And so, like, I mean, I think, I mean, that's kind of why we chose to have all artists who have dealt with mental health, and because art is a way of, I don't know, for a lot of artists, for a lot of people, for
kinda
me, like coping.
Kind of like a, you know, like sort of like an outlet, sort
exactly.
of, in a sense, way to express themselves to the music. Mm-hmm. And like I remember, like, a long time ago, like, he didn't really, like, want to, like, not like out himself about his bipolar disability because people would see him as, you know.
Well, so that's, I mean, there's stigma, right, around people who are have quote-unquote mental illnesses. Yeah. And, like, I'm going to use the word neurodivergence or differing abilities or different mental differences when we're talking about this. But there's a stigma involved, right? And so for him to come out can make a difference.
Yeah.
For, you know.
I think it speaks to many people that they can still be themselves or just even like become famous if you want to, if you have a mental disability, you know, write a book about it, make a YouTube video about it, make a YouTube channel about like the struggles and things like that.
Well, I mean, there was something I was reading about stigma that like a lot of times people try to find fame or, you know, things to say, quote unquote, elevate their status.
Clout chase.
There we go. Right, and didn't he say something in Yikes? He was like, I think I just out, like, I just upped the clout game.
Yeah,
or something about that. Right,
he of trying his, to he upped his clout game.
Right, right. So this idea that if you chase fame, maybe you'll feel better. Is that what you're? Or I think it's more about. I think it's more about. At least for me, I think it's more about the ability to have an outlet, and that, like, yes, that may bring fame, but I don't think that's necessarily the.
Goal.
I mean, I think you're bringing up a good point that, you know, if you're in recovery or on mental health or anything, that can be a story that can be powerful that a lot of people have used. And I think it's important not to put people in that category that if you're in recovery, that's all you get to talk about. You know, you know, you may be in recovery and just want to write, you know, music about all the other things in the world going on like anybody else would. And what I think is powerful about having people with neurodivergence actually expressing themselves in art is like they see the world through a different set of experiences. And there's a lot of people whose sense of justice and activism has been really heavily informed by their grappling with how really hostile society can be to neurodivergence if it doesn't line up with, and we'll talk more about like how even the way mental health is defined kind of cues it up to make us better prepared to like be in society in a good way. You know, but I think there's this way in which having gone through that experience, you know, artists who are struggling then were like having to deal with not so much struggling with their own neurodivergence, but struggling with the world's hostility toward it can bring a kind of frame and understanding of justice that's really powerful in their art and their work.
Because maybe they just see it as they might not be as respected, maybe, or seen as maybe like lesser of a person with, you know, their disability or whatever they have.
And it might be harder to make it in the music industry, right? I mean, think about what kind of grind is necessary, what kind of ways you need to be public facing, how you need to be in certain meetings, you need to present certain ways. There's all the sort of way the norms in our culture can be stacked against an artist who, you know, let's say has autism and is like presenting differently in a meeting than somebody else. Their talent gets lost in the expectation of speaking or organizing your thoughts in a certain way. And that's a shame, I think, right? So like we can lose a lot of people in that. And like who actually gets to come to the surface with their music starts to get filtered out, right? The more you're dealing with things that, gets
I mean, like, look at Kanye. You know, I don't know if he's had it like his whole life or is like something he's like, he'd like been born with. Just
so my understanding, I'm not sure about that, but my understanding is that his, after his mom died, who was like his major support system, like after his mom died, he really is when started to quote unquote what people would say spin out. Is when his mental health took a turn. He lost one of his main support systems. He lost somebody that made him feel safe and held in the world, right? And so that in and of itself is its own sort of trauma for him. And so I don't know whether or not he was born with it, whether or not he's always had it. I mean, it could be.
Yeah. But maybe it could have just been like something like passed down to him, you know, like genetic blood-wise, you know?
And that happens too.
And like, And you look at him and you go, like, wow, he had a disability and he did like all that, you know. He's got like many like platinum awards and things like that, you know. Those are like big achievements that he can like, that he looks up to, the things that he's done with this disability. Like, he's turned what he has into, like, something positive. He even wrote, like, a whole, like, two whole songs about it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, like, that sort of, like, surprise sometimes we have of, like, oh, somebody's moving through the world with a, you know, what we're calling a disability or an illness or a neurodivergence, like, in a more kind of, like, neutral or positive framing. Like, and they were successful, and there's almost still this kind of, like, surprise versus being like, oh, of course, excellent music is coming from people who are, you know, like, have different sensory experiences, who have different ways of, I think we've seen this correlation between, quote, mental illness and incredible artistic output and creativity for a long time. So I think, like, for the world, to, and there's a ton of, I'm sure, artists out there, too, you just have no idea, right?
Exactly.
You can't, they're managing it the way they're managing it, and it's not public, and that's not part of it, and it's there. So I think getting past that assumption that, you know, having a mental illness or a mental disorder or something that can be diagnosed in that means that you're less capable of doing anything is, I think, just, like, way off base, actually, you know, and adds to that sort of stigma, versus saying, like, how can we create a music industry that allows neurodivergent people to all be able to thrive, you know, to find the place that works for them, the sort of recording studio that feels good for them, so we can just get more excellent music coming into the world. And that takes us kind of to, like, what we were going to talk about in this segment, all of this around, like, what is the definition of mental health? And I don't know, I guess that's kind of tough for you but I can read. So the mental health definition from Merriam-Webster dictionary is, quote, the condition of being sound mentally and emotionally, and it's characterized by the absence of mental illness and by adequate adjustment, especially as reflected by feeling comfortable about oneself, positive feelings about others, and the ability to meet the demands of daily life. So that's how we're defining, this is how Merriam-Webster is defining mental health.
And also the general condition of one's mental and emotional state, which also, as a side note. But yeah, going with that first definition, what sticks out in there for you, William? Huh? Like, what sticks out in that definition for you, right, about...
Hold on, let me shift myself.
All right, yeah, but, like, I don't know. I feel like there's some things that are problematic. But what sticks out to you?
Some people, maybe, that, like, some people see if somebody's, like, just a mean person or just doesn't like talking to people in general and doesn't respond positively to things. You know, oh, he's mental. Oof.
Yeah, just, that language.
Yeah, just like. Assumes kind of like prejudging that person or assuming how that person's going to react. Maybe one day you go up to that person and that person's going to respond to you like way different. And you're like, well, what this person said is that you'd respond like this. And he's like, oh, I was just having a bad day.
Right.
And that speaks too to like the difference between like natural flows that we have emotionally versus what might be diagnosed as a consistent sort of imbalance emotionally. And those things kind of get named as having like an anxiety disorder means your anxiety levels are kind of heightened consistently in a way that's not kind of normal with like, oh, something spiked my anxiety. I'm nervous about it for an hour and it kind of levels out. Like your physiology kind of holds on to that sense of anxiety. And according to the statistics I have in front of me, that young people aged 13 to 18, 32% of them have reported having an anxiety disorder. And 8% have reported that that's created kind of a severe impact in their lives, made it hard for them to be in school, made it hard for them to relate to their families. So 30%, you know, looking at the here we are at the table, that one out of every three kids who come to the clubhouse might be dealing with an anxiety disorder. Does that surprise you, William, when you hear that? One out of every three kids here might, you know, on average might be dealing with anxiety disorder?
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's surprising to you or not? Like,
I mean, like... Not really. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world who suffer from things that they just don't want to talk about. And that stuff like might be like private to them, and it's just something that they don't want to like out or actually sit down and talk to somebody. And it kind of ties into like our conversation like last time, like if somebody's like having like suicidal thoughts and just, you know, wants to, you know,
talk about it, right?
Yeah, and just needs somebody and doesn't want any, like, intervention between anybody else, or doesn't want, like, one person telling another, like, telling somebody else. If you were to tell your best friend, you know, I'm having suicidal thoughts, and they're like, oh, okay. Then they go out and then they tell another person, and then you're like, bro, that's not cool. I didn't ask you to, you know.
Right.
I told you to, you know, kind of, like, keep it low-key.
Because I think it's important to be able, like Phoebs was saying, like, these ebbs and flows of emotion and mental state. It's like, you may have this, but you know what it's made out of. You just need somebody to talk to. You know what it's made out of. That may not be a sign of, like, a mental illness.
That's the difference between anxiety and anxiety disorder, right? A disorder is a suggestion that your anxiety levels are not in balance to what's going on in your life. It's not just a normal anxiety response to, like, somebody hit the back end of your car or you lost your homework, you know, and that you can't find. Like, that makes you anxious in the moment, right? That
doesn't, especially me.
You know, that doesn't necessarily mean you have an anxiety disorder.
Like, that's happened to me, and I just, like, I almost cried because I lost my homework, and turns out it was in the bottom of my backpack.
You heard.
Anxiety was spiked,
and then I picked it up, I'm like.
And now the difference between that moment and an anxiety disorder is I could be sitting at home.
Yeah. Or just, like,
nothing happens, and I just have a spike of feeling.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just, like, the difference, right? Like, there's maybe nothing that necessarily triggers it. But then, or, like, it's always there.
Or maybe it's just some people have, like, really, like, bad anxiety around people. So, like, if there's, like, a group of people in one room, and that person is just, like, there, and they're like, oh, my God, I don't feel safe. This is, nope.
Yeah. And, you know, this is where it's, there, I think, are ways in which people want to keep mental neurodivergence or mental disorder sort of, like, tightly packed up inside of your brain, right? Like, you, William, have your set of mental health kind of conditions, and, you know, so you're, that's all sort of self-contained, right? You're anxious or you're not. But the reality is the world around us is influencing the degree to which something like anxiety or depression might show up in our lives, the prevalence of that, and the likelihood we have access to what is called kind of like good protective factors and coping mechanisms as well. So I sometimes get worried that communities of people who live in places where there's either a lot of stress that can create anxiety and depression, or violence that creates anxiety and depression, and they're also living around a lack of what's called protective factors, you know, then they're more likely to be diagnosed, I feel like, with disorders, even though I don't know that they're, like, is there a difference in, like, I'm curious about how that gets accounted for in the diagnosing of people as disordered versus just having normal responses to what's happening in the world around
them.
Like, it's like, you're not mentally ill, you're totally mentally normal to have very high anxiety in this condition.
Right, and, like, that's, it's like communities that are more at risk, and why are these communities more at risk for socioeconomic differences, experiencing higher levels of violence than others, and just not generally feeling safe. And so before we go into the news, we're going to listen to DMX Slippin', which is kind of speaks to kind of what we're talking about. And in the next segment, we'll dig into kind of what it looks like to have coping mechanisms around, like, what's normal. You know, what's a normal mental health? So, enjoy DMX.
Bye.
We'll be back.
Now I'm ready to take some. 3 years later, showing signs of stress. Didn't keep my hair cut or give a fuck how I dress. I'm possessed by the darker side, living the cruddy life. Like this, kept a with a bloody knife. Wanna make records, but I'm hooked up. Slipping, I'm falling, can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. Can't get up, hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up, get back on my feet so I can tear. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up, hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up, hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up, get back on my feet so I can tear. Wasn't long before I hit rock bottom. Like, damn, look how that got open like a window, no more endo. Look at a video, say to myself that could have been yo. On the TV, believe me, could be done. Something got to give, got to
changes, now I got a son. I got to do the right thing for shorty, and that means no more getting high, drinking 40, so I get back, looking tight, slick again. Fake, jump back on my, again. Nothing but love for those that know how I feel, and much respect to all my, kept it real. You strong, kept it from doing wrong. Who they is, and this is your song. And to my boo, who stuck with it, I do. All the bulls, you'll get yours, because it's due.
Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I can't get up, hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I can't get up, hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I got to get up, get back on my feet so I can tear shit. I'm slipping.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekachevic continues to report on the questionnaire responses submitted to Columbia Green Media for Board of Education candidates in the May 21st election. In Columbia County, eight individuals are competing to fill three open seats on the Ichabod Crane Board of Education. James Jim Antelec is an engineering manager at GE Power. Educator Marie Bertram is new to the area. She has two children in the first and third grades. Incumbent Brendan Colunio is running for a second term. He is a graduate of Ichabod Crane High School and Hudson Valley Community College. Berkshire Bank VP John Challenger holds a law degree and a master's in business administration. He served on the Board of Education in the past and is hoping to be elected again. Incumbent Matthew Nelson has been a member of the board since 2016 and has served as its president since 2018. Incumbent Jeffrey Owlett is the founding director of the Kinderhook Foundation. He is a lifelong resident in the district and has served on the board since 2012. He lives in Valencia. Candidate Elizabeth Phillips is employed as a grant writer for Camp Hill Village. She grew up in Kinderhook. The eldest of her three children attends kindergarten in the district. Retired teacher and administrator and incumbent board vice president Anthony Welcome rounds out the field. He spent his entire 50-year career in the Ichabod District. Welcome has held the seat on the board for 12 years. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The Socrates Police Department will pull out of the multi-agency law enforcement team known as Urgent. Instead, the department has chosen to work with the Ulster County Department of Social Service to investigate domestic violence cases. The Socrates Town Board voted May 15th to sever ties with the 12-year-old Ulster Regional Gang Enforcement Narcotics Team. Town officials noted the county will give the town $75,000 per year for 2 years to support the work of the Socrates Police Investigator exclusively focused on domestic violence cases. The town has received no reimbursement for the urgent work. Socrates Police Chief Joseph Sinagra said, and I quote, "We have a very serious domestic violence issue in Socrates that we've been trying to address for years," end quote. Socrates Investigator will work on domestic violence cases throughout Ulster County, not just in Socrates, but could be recalled to work solely on Socrates cases if needed. Socrates is not the first municipality to withdraw from the multi-agency team. The Town of Ulster Police Department withdrew from Urgent in 2010, and the Kingston Police Department followed in 2012. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. David Lombardo reports for the Times Union, a policy directing attendees of state commission meetings to pre-register may violate New York's open meeting law. Notices for the Public Service Commission's May 16th meeting in Albany included a warning that 48-hour notice would be required to attend in person. The policy was not enforced, but State Committee on Open Government Executive Director Robert J. Freeman said the proposed burden is, and I quote, "unreasonable, ungovernable, and unsupportable," end quote. Freeman said that members of the public can be required to comply with certain security requirements, but said 2 days' notice would be an unreasonable requirement. Freeman said he believes if the policy was challenged, a court would find the policy to be in violation of the open meeting law. PSC spokesman James Dinn said, and I quote, We intend to help those who wanted to attend today's sessions to expedite their check-in process by asking them to pre-register with a 48-hour advance notice, end quote. Den said going forward, the PSC will clarify that pre-registering is not a requirement to attend. Read the full story in the Times Union. ABC7NY.com is reporting Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, May 16th, unveiled the final design renderings for the new main entrance to Manhattan's Penn Station. The new entrance will be located at 33rd Street and 7th Avenue, providing direct access to the Long Island Railroad main concourse and the New York City subway. The project will begin construction in June and is expected to cost $570 million. Cuomo also announced the overall Penn Station redevelopment master plan, which continues to move forward and is intended to transform Penn Station into a modern transportation hub. Read the full story at abcny.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Play Pat, what up?
Thumb, not from being nervous sometimes. I'm thinking God made me special here on purpose. So all the while till I'm gone, make my words important. So if I slip away, if I die today, the last thing you remember won't be about some apple bottom jeans with the boots with the fur. Maybe how I dream of being free since my birth. Cursed, but the demons I confronted with the spurs. Spurs. Have you ever heard of it's so real, beyond from the heart, from the soul, you can feel. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But please don't cry, just know that I have made these songs for you. And if I die,
welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting ACRA, Catskill, Hudson.
Before the break, you heard Slippin' by DMX, and you were just listening to The Player by Kid Cudi.
Right. So we're in the second half of the Word Shop, and we've been discussing our definitions of mental health. Right before the break, we were talking about how different communities may hold what a diagnosis of mental illness looks like differently than others, right? And I'd like to take a slight turn into some published poetry from Khalil Gibran and Terrence Hayes. These poets speak to their experiences as Khalil Gibran was born in North Lebanon and Terrence Hayes is a black man here in America, and they speak to their experiences, thought processes, and coping mechanisms. So from Khalil Gibran, we have an excerpt from The Poet. An exile am I in this world. An exile am I, and alone, tormented by my aloneness, which ever directs my thought to a magic and unknown realm, and fills my dreams with shadows of a region distant and unseen. An exile am I from my kinsmen and my countrymen, and should I meet one of them, I would say to myself, who then is this one? Where is it I have known him, what bond unites me to him, and why do I draw near to sit beside him? An exile am I from myself, and should I hear my own tongue speak, my ear finds the voice strange. Sometimes I look within and behold my secret self, a hidden self that laughs and weeps, that dares and fears. Then my being marvels at my being, and my spirit questions mine own spirit. Yet I remain in exile, unknown, lost in the mist, clothed with the silence. So be interested to hear from y'all. How do you feel about that? For me, Jabram was an alcoholic who died of cirrhosis of the liver, right? So what you're hearing in this poem, you hear that struggle with feeling the ability to connect.
He said something about his aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a word, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what he's saying, like loneliness in a sense, you know. He said... Oh, there it is. Tormented by my aloneness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah. We've been talking about, like, how mental health and addiction tie together when you don't feel that you have connection to people, right?
Kind of like that space between, like, you and social connection and, you know.
Mm-hmm. But... there's something, too, that he says, you know, I am an exile. There's a way in which it feels that Jabron almost holds that
mm-hmm.
and that his writing can be kind of his coping for that. So,
yeah.
I mean, we also have another author, and
mm-hmm.
William, you read this poem. You want to read that for us by Terrence Hayes? Yeah, he was. He's won National Book Awards, and this is from his 2018 collection, American Sonnets.
I'm gonna go now.
Uh huh.
It was discovered the best way to combat sadness was to make your sadness a door, or make it an envelope of wireless chatter, or. Wires pulled from the radio tape recorder. Your mother bought you for your Christmas in 1984. If you think a hammer is the only way to hammer, a nail. You ain't thought of the nail correctly. My problem was I decided to make myself a poem. It made me sweat in private selfishly. It made me bleep and weep for health. As a poem, I could show my children the man I dreamed I was. My mother and fathers, my half-brothers, the lovers I lost. Just mourning. Just mourning, as a poem, I asked myself if I was going to weep today.
Thank you, William. So, you know, sadness, right? Some people might call it depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is not just sadness, right? Yeah. Like, depression is this consistent...
Loneliness,
weight, lack of feeling like you can do anything, lack of motivation, and just feeling like there's nothing in the world and that there's no point, right?
Yeah.
And so it feels like it could be very easy for, in this poem, right? If you think a hammer is the only way to hammer a nail, you might have thought of the nail correctly. My problem was I decided to make myself a poem. It made me sweat and privish selfishly. It made me bleed, bleep, and weep for health. That weep for health, right? Like that trying to find...
your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense.
I mean, and find... what makes you healthy, like what makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been that piece of health is another reason this definition is so complicated, because each person has their own understanding of what healthy feels like to them. And I feel like what's really powerful about this poem is, you know, in that like sort of second sentence, sadness was the best way to combat sadness was to make your sadness a door. Like, how, when emotion shows up, can it become an entrance point for us to have a deeper understanding of what we're made out of, who we are, what we care about, like what we desire for our lives, how we want to come into integrity with that. And when we're able to feel emotion, I think we're actually able to move through the world in more healthy ways, because I think we're showing up for our own experience, and making adjustments around that. So this poem sort of, for me, holds this piece that the answer to feeling a lot of emotions is not, you know, shut down your emotions or like contain yourself. It's how do you use those emotional opportunities as doors to do a deeper investigation of yourself, like this. And that, it made me sweat in private selfishly. It gave him the opportunity to sweat out and look at, through the writing of the poem, what that feeling was made out of. And it made him in the process bleed, bleep, and weep. And I think that sort of deeping and diving into is exactly what we were talking about with art as a mode of an entrance point for our emotions, not just getting stuck in us and making us feel unwell, which I think is an unhealthy way emotions can show up, but a way for us to really understand and move through those experiences and grow for them.
Yes. So I think with that kind of brings us to a good song break. I'm talking about being mad and about having your emotions. So let's hear Mad.
Enjoy.
That still owe me bucks, so I got the right to get bucked, but I try not to let it build up. I'm too high, I'm too bad or too much, so I let it go, let it go, let it go.
I ran into this girl, she said, why you always blame it? Why you can't just face it? Why you always gotta be so mad? Be mad, be mad, be mad. Why you always talking, always be complaining? Get up in the way. Let it go. Let it go. I ran into this girl. She said, why you always say it? Why you can't just face it? Why you always gotta be so mad?
I got a lot to be mad about.
Be mad, be mad. When you love, when you love, when you love, when you love.
was Mad by Solange, right? And Lil Wayne. So we're coming back in. William, you got some questions for us, I hear?
I mean, I'll formulate more questions, but I've got one for now. What is, you know, you guys' definition of mental health?
So for me, I like to think of it as being on a spectrum of positive to negative, and positive to negative and high to low levels of activation, right? So I'm either positively activated in a like high fashion, or I'm positively activated in a low fashion, and then similarly negatively activated or not. And so for me, my mental health is about being in a balance with that and sitting somewhere right on the positive balanced end between being high and low negative, but not all the way too, because to me that feels like being manic, and I don't want to do that. So
yeah, so when I was thinking about this question during this whole prep for the show, I was like, all right, I gotta break it down. What does mental mean? Like, what does health mean? So when I think about mental, it's like we're talking about the realm of our thoughts, our perceptions of things, kind of our decision making, like our brain stuff. And health, I was trying to think of health like as that relates to like a body, right? When I think about a healthy body, its system is regulating itself. It's like making all the parts work. Like everything seems to be kind of supporting the goal of staying alive, right? When your body's doing stuff that doesn't keep you alive, we get worried. We say you're sick, right? Something's not working right. So similarly for me, mental health is like you're in a place where your thoughts and your perceptions and your decision making like support the functioning of your being, like help you move through the world, and they kind of keep you self-regulated so that you can balance your emotions and all these things in a way that like basically keeps you in integrity with the life you want to have. So it might be real weird.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean talking to nobody.
Yep.
I'm not going to call you mentally ill for that, because there's a lot of like really difficult people in the world. But, you know, as long as that's your kind of like self-determined desired way of being, and your thoughts and your perceptions of the world, whatever, are helping you get there and stay in integrity with what you want for your life, I feel like that's mentally healthy. And I think that's why it's so important for us not to jump to the assumption that somebody's like mentally ill because they're doing something different. You know, they might be very, very well and happy in their decision making and process.
It's just about being outside of the norm, right? It's like what's normal, quote unquote, it's been defined that, and what's
mm-hmm.
not.
Yeah. So, but if like your anxiety, your depression is making it such where you're like, not able, your decision making is such like, I'm not going to get out of bed, I'm not going to make it to my job, I'm not going to, even though your desire is to be in those places and get that, like that's where you start to see conflict. That's where a professional might start to worry, or a friend might start to worry and say, hey, maybe your anxiety is actually making you sick, because it's impacting the functionality of the life you said you wanted in like in not a great way. So
I mean, that's
what we got.
Yeah, I mean, and there's ways, too, that you always continue to manage what is, say, quote-unquote, your what is your neurodivergence, if you're managing it, right? And if that, if it's, it, it's, I like to think of it in terms of, like, a physical health. Say, if you have diabetes and have to continue taking insulin or something all the time, it's, like, it's just part of managing your health, and just because you have this condition, I don't know, somebody wouldn't necessarily call themselves sick all the time, right? So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. You still formulating?
Yeah,
formulating, yeah. Formulating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
in a sense, how do you like think somebody may, What is your perspective on like how you perceive mental health?
What do you mean?
Like how do you see mental health? Like,
I mean, I see the definition that people work off of as a basic definition as being tied to capitalism. This thing about the ability to meet the demands of daily life. Whose daily life? With what dangers?
Yeah.
With what? challenges with what, like, whose daily life, like, and that for me, that it becomes who, for whom is mental health, as that definition stands, actually accessible, right? Like, I don't necessarily walk around with positive feelings about others constantly. Like, that's not, right? Like, that's kind of a high ask, I think. So I think that it's a way of controlling and thinking of, like, how people to be normal and, like, what normality is. But that's just my piece on it. So,
yeah, and I think that's why you see really big differences in the prevalence of what's called mental disorders based on, like, what we know in the world makes it harder or easier to just go about your day and feel good about it, right? So if you identify, sadly, still as lesbian or gay or bi or trans, you're more likely, you're twice as likely to be at risk for committing suicide than if you don't. Why? Because you live in a world that's hostile towards your existence a lot of times, and so, like, you got more stress, right?
And I mean, it's worth noting and pointing out that, like, at one point, which is not okay, homosexuality was deemed a mental illness, right? Yeah. So that gives you kind of an insight into, like, how this definition of mental illness is
very violently used.
Yeah.
And I've got another question before we go into the song. Do you see mental health as a good and or a bad thing?
I mean, you can't be, like, there's this idea, right? I mean, the truth of the matter is you can't be physically healthy if you're not mentally healthy, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it I don't feel comfortable totally with the definition as we have it, but, like, to have sound mental health, to be able to hold yourself and move through the world the way you want to move through, I think that's a positive thing. Like, I think that's a good thing.
But again, make it self-defines. Like, check in with yourself. Like, what do, this is why I think this defining piece, like, the thing I'd want our listeners to take away is, like, find your own, like, way to benchmark yourself with your mental health. Like, how anxious are you feeling? How depressed are you feeling? Where are you at with your connection to your peers? Are you able to show up to your obligations? And, like, have your own ways of checking in with that for yourself that are, like, you define. And then, like, that, like, it should be intrinsically a useful thing, right, to be working toward your mental health. Just like working toward your physical health makes you, in theory, feel better if you're doing it in ways that actually work for you, right? And there's a lot of different, like, you know, one of the principles of mental health recovery is that it's self-directed. You figure out what it feels like to be in recovery, and you, you drive that. So,
and, like, just like one thing that I just, like, want to, like, say, like, some people may, like, feel different every day. You can't just, like, walk up to a person and expect them to, like, act the same that they did every single day. Somebody might go to their classroom, act goofy one day, come back the next day, and, like, start doing their work, and they're a complete different person. You're like, who? What happened to them?
Yeah,
complicated, right? I mean, like, if it's normal to have variation, then maybe that's normal. But, like, also, if you see mood swings in your friends or whatever, don't ignore it either. I think part of mental health awareness is, like, we do a better job checking in with each other. And the statistics show that Black people are half as likely to report feeling any mental health issues than white people because they're less comfortable with the system. It's really stigmatized. You don't get access to the same sort of culturally competent or careful health services. So, like, I think it's particularly important for our community that we do create a safe space to share what's up and get access to help.
Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed this song.
All right, so, yeah, we're starting to come to, actually, the end of our time.
Really?
All right, yeah.
Okay. Like, you need an hour.
Yeah. Totally need it, right? So thank you for listening. Catch us next week every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Thank you to Wave Farm, WGXC, Juice Branch, Relish Delights, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouses, and Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties for all your support. Like we said, all music today featured artists who have publicly wrangled with their mental health. Final shout out to anyone who is trying to find their balance in mental health.
If you are 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming our radio show, just join us for a radio workshop at Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Friday at